Hello, hello. This is CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting from the unceded territory of the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam people. This is Word on the Street. Welcome back. We have a smaller group today, if everyone wants to introduce themselves.
Howdy from Calgary. My name's Gabe.
Gabe, who pronounces Calgary wrong.
Howdy from Calgary, the way it's supposed to be pronounced. This is Brenna.
Hi, Kalev. It's Helena.
Hey, y'all. What's up?
That's so cute.
Jack from Cali.
Ooh. This is Zubin from Vancouver.
What's up? This is Nate from Slovenia.
Yep. So one of these things is not like the others. one of these things. That's the phrase.
You gotta stop there.
That is the phrase. That is the common phrase. I'm Isia. Usually I'm not here. Isaac is gone at the moment. But we have a special. Where is Isaac? Isaac is currently helping Nardwar with an interview. I don't know if I can disclose this information as the interview is not out yet.
Okay.
But also we have 8 listeners, so I don't know. I'm just not going to say it. But today we have Nate, who's a new member of the collective. If you want to introduce yourself.
What's up? I'm Nate. Nate Jančar from Slovenia.
Damn.
I'm from Celje, which is the 3rd biggest city in Slovenia, and it has 40,000 inhabitants.
Damn.
Which is a lot for the 3rd biggest city in Slovenia.
The 3rd biggest... never mind. I was going to give a statistic that's very wrong. So
it's all okay. We all.
I was going to say the 3rd biggest city in Slovenia is bigger than Canada's entire population.
You're
But that's... I thought you said 40 million, not 40,000.
How would that physically...
I mean, I know.
Okay, it's all good.
Well, a fun fact linking to Jack, California has a bigger population than all of Canada. So
that
is a real fact. So last week we actually talked about like international music and scenes in like different cities. And since you're from Slovenia, you had some pretty interesting facts about the Slovenian music scene and like what it's like around there. Would you like to disclose any of that info?
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to. I mean, first of all, the Slovenian music scene is kind of slowly evolving. And right now, of course, hip hop is like the most popular genre in the world, I guess, especially here. So we have a lot of up and coming hip hop artists. Mm-hmm. One of them I hope will play. They're called Matter. They're the most hipster hip hop group in Slovenia right now.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, and I hope they're not listening because this is kind of Yeah.
This is kind of what?
Sorry, guys.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's.
We're not here to make fun of Matter. We're here to promote them. So, everyone, look up Matter. MATTER. What are some albums we should listen to, my friend?
You should listen to their latest album, which is Stroglau. And it's a triple album, actually. They released it on 3 Fridays.
Brockhampton, who?
This is Slovenian Brockhampton.
You could say it, but it's only 3 members still. But yeah, go listen to Troglau, and their best song on the album is called 27 Comets, or 27 Kometov in Slovenian.
It sounds a lot cooler in Slovenian.
It does, right?
Yeah.
And the second best song is Jujitsu, which is an international word for a martial art.
Jiu-jitsu.
For jiu-jitsu, yeah.
So
earlier you were also mentioning like weird connections to the president, the president's connection to like the rap scene. Could you just, what? That was very interesting to me.
Yeah, Slovenia is, first of all, it's a small country. That's why we have like intertwining, people are intertwining with themselves, I guess. Sorry for my bad English.
No, it's perfect. It's all good.
And yeah, I've had the pleasure to meet the Slovenian president because he's the dad of my really good friend. Shout out to Luka. I hope you're listening right now.
Woo.
Yeah.
You're not, you're sleeping, but still. And yeah, he did a kind of a small promotion of a local artist who's called Acti. Mm-hmm. He's 19 years old, so he's up and coming. He's really young and his music is getting really popular back home. So I think if we have time, we can listen to him as well. So,
cool.
Shout out to Acti.
Shout out to ACTI. So we're going to play a Matter song real quick, and then we will segue to our next topic, which is going to be religion and how it's connected to music. So stay tuned.
Sedemindvajset kometov, ko bo konc sveta, v treh minutah trezor pleše kabubica. Sedemindvajset kometov, ko bo konc sveta, spizdi v Nemčijo z vlakom, čiče tam počak. Tam bo ej skico, padla bo kestiča. Ti sem pri do Berlina, jer Berga je ne spava. Ti sem pri do Berlina, posti na Instagram. Minotavr v očeh, v srcu Helena. Ti sem pri do Berlina in čičem jemega. V treh minutah trezor plešem ka bubica. Kolk to koš tukaj, veš da bo padla kestiča. Če bomo skupaj, veš da nikdar ne bo konc sveta. In nisi edini, ki bi džaba stal, v vrsti džaba, ker si džoban žal. Nocoj čez vrsto, ko to mahal, v treh minutah enči premal. Večnost je premajhna za šlico, večnost se ne da pomanjšati v prizmo. Večnost je večnost je premajhna za žlico, večnost se ne da pomanjšati v prizmo. Večnost je došel. Sedemindvajset kometov, ko bo konc sveta, spizdi v Nemčiji, vlaku, čiče tam počak. Sedemindvajset kometov, ko bo konc sveta, tri minute, tri zore, plešem ka bubica. Če bo konc sveta, veš da bo padla gestača. Kolk ironično, brate, tebe saka hotla čobana. Kolk dolg boš tukaj, veš da je padla gestača. Če bomo skupaj, veš da nikdar ne bo konc sveta. Sedini, ki bi džaba stala.
Yes. We don't want no devils in the house, God.
Yes,
we want the Lord.
Yes,
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus, praise the Lord.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah, God.
Yes.
We don't want no
ultra light beam, we on a ultra light beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream. This is everything. This is everything.
This is a content warning. Swears in this song. Hide your kids.
Deliver us peace. Deliver us love, and we know we need it. You know we need it. You know we need it. Then why we need you now? Pray for Paris. Pray for the parents. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything. Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe, and in my holy war.
And depression, not blessings. Why, oh, why'd you do me wrong? Whoa. You persecute the weak because it makes you feel so strong. Yeah. Don't have much strength to fight, so I look to the light. Whoa. To make these wrongs turn right. Head up high, I look to the light. Hey, cause I know that you'll make everything alright. And I know that you'll take good care of your child. I look to the light.
When they come for you, I will shield your name. I will feel their questions. I will feel your pain. No one can judge. They don't know. They don't know. Foot on the devil's neck to the drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia. Treat the demons just like Pam. I mean, I fuck with your friends, but damn, Gina. I've been this way since Arthur was anteater. Now they wanna hit me with the woo after bam. Trying to snap photos of family. My daughter look just like Sia. You can't see her. You can feel the lyrics of spirit coming in braille. Tumbling of the underground, come and follow the trail. I made Sunday candy, I'm never going to hell. I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail. He said let's do a good ass job with Chance 3. I hear you gotta sell it to snatch the Grammy. Let's make it so free and the bar so hard that it ain't one gosh darn part you can't tweet. This is my part, nobody else speak.
This is my part, nobody else speak. This little light of mine. Glory be to God, yeah.
I'ma make sure that they go where they can't go. If they don't wanna ride, I'ma still give them raincoats. Know what God said when he made the first rainbow? Just notice at the end of fucking late for the intro. I'm just having fun with it. You know that a nigga was lost. I laugh in my head cause I bet that my ex looking back like a pillar of salt. Cause they flipped the script on your ass like Wesley and Spike. You cannot mess with the light. Look at the channel from 79. We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith.
Yes,
but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe. And in my holy war.
Father, this prayer's for everyone that feels they're not good enough. This prayer's for everybody that feels that they're too messed up. For everyone that feels they said I'm sorry too many times. You can never go too far when you can't come back home again. That's why I need...
Peace of mind. Come out to any of our 17 weekly classes running 7 days a week, ranging from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We have a class to accommodate your needs and abilities. Check us out at ubcyogaclub.com.
You're invited to the launch party of Noise Complaint, a brand new podcast from CITR 101.9 FM. The party is on Friday, January 18th, at the Avant Garden with live performances from Maneater and Hope. Doors at 9 p.m. and bands at 10 p.m.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Hello, and we're back. You're listening to Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM. And if you're wondering why we just played Ultralight Beam by Kanye West, it's because we wanted to discuss kind of the influence that a lot of religious music, specifically gospel, has had on a lot of different genres, and specifically hip-hop. So, Zubin, do you want to talk a little bit about the research you did today? Important
yes.
Research.
Research used lightly.
Heavily.
So, I mean, I would guess today's topic, we're just thinking about, you know, personally not being religious, but obviously listening to a lot of music where there's still clearly, like, heavy religious influences, and how, like, I guess I can still appreciate the music even without really caring for that religious meaning. But, yeah, one interesting, I guess, like, tangential example was kind of the story of Pusha T's brother, also known as his stage name, originally Malice, and now No Malice, one half of the duo Clips. Yeah, so No Malice, around 2010, I believe, decided to, depart from his duo with his brother and, essentially, I guess, like, found God or however you want to describe it. He became, like, a born-again Christian to some degree, and so now he makes Christian rap and essentially kind of in contrast with, say, Pusha T, who still raps about his, like, drug-dealing days and all that, he kind of decided to, like, divorce himself of that past.
Interesting. And if you guys, like, listen to any musicians with a lot of, like, spiritual themes in their songs, not necessarily that they are, like, a Christian musician, but, like, Chance, for example, he mentions God a lot in his Grammy speeches. He always, like, thanks him, like, 14 times. So does that have, like, any negative or positive impact for you guys? Or is it, like, what it is? You don't really care. You're, like, listening to the instrumental more?
I think it's kind of neutral. It's like, it's, you can definitely pick up those, like, references, and I guess that goes a lot back to just, like, how these artists were raised and just, like, different, I guess, like, things that they draw on from their childhood, right, and different, like, influences that they have. But I feel like it just kind of adds to their character. Like, I don't think that me personally, I don't really take it with a grain of salt or anything. It's just kind of part of who they are.
Anyone else have any opinions?
I think that religion shouldn't be the deciding factor when you listen to an artist and you hear about his religious preference. I don't think that this should be an issue with the fact that you like the artist. So it's just something that is there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, I think some artists, for example, like Chance or Kanye, it's kind of hard to separate their religious background or their religious beliefs from their music just because it, like, plays so heavily into, like, their personality and their art. Mm-hmm. Like, Kanye literally thinks he's, like, God. Like, you can't really take that away from, like, his artistic impact or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, so my thing with, like, religion and music is I personally don't care because a lot of the time it kind of shapes the music that a artist is making. Because especially, in like, Kanye's case, like, ever since, like, 2004 and whatnot, just, like, the early days of what he was creating, like, it had a heavy influence, especially with, like, Jesus Walks. And the thing is, like, I kind of respect it, even though I'm personally not religious, because he was trying to get a radio-friendly signal or song about religion. And to be fair, and there was no way they were going to, like, put that on the radio. And to have the success of a religious song like that and just be able to carry it with the tone that it had is pretty amazing to me. Because a lot of people, I don't want artists just relying on religion because I don't want to just be pushing it onto people. But if it's part of your personality and just kind of like who you are as a person, you shouldn't hide that because music is a very personal thing. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you're all about, then you should definitely try to focus in on it and just hone in on like what's actually important with it.
True. Welcome to Shanae. She just entered the studio. We're talking about music and religion and like how gospel and stuff has influenced a lot of different musicians. And an interesting case that I immediately thought of was, this is very, like, high school, middle school of me, but the 1975 have this song called If I Believe You. And instrumentally, it's, like, very gospelly influenced, and, like, they have the choir and everything. But the lyrics are, like, explicitly about how he struggles with believing in God and how he doesn't, like, really understand that whole concept. And one of the lyrics is, if it was you who made my body, you probably wouldn't have made me atheist. So it's kind of interesting, like, the contrast between the instrumental and the content, which like seems pretty deliberate to me. And like my mother, who's like quite religious, she heard the song and she was like, ooh, I like it, because she wasn't listening to the lyrics, but she heard the instrumental and like just assumed it was religious. So I feel like that can also be used as a tool in like pretty unique ways, rather than just like, oh, I like the sound of gospel, so I'm going to incorporate it into my music.
Yeah, another example of an artist who's done that is Hozier. I know for his album that was released in, I think, like 2015, the one with Take Me to Church on it, he was heavily influenced by like American spirituals. And that sound he wouldn't have necessarily come across by himself because he's Irish. But I think he had a parent who was very interested in it. And then that like transitioned into his music. And it's cool how someone who didn't have much in common with it thought that was the best way for him to express himself.
Awesome. And Gabe, you had a very deep and very, I don't know, insightful quote you said earlier, which would be perfect for the transition I'm trying to make right now.
One second, I just gotta get it right.
It's coming.
Basically, the quote boiled down to, what is religion's influence on popular music and popular music's influence on our personal religions?
Ooh,
let's hear a couple snaps.
Genius.
I'm sorry, but I can't. You're just trying to say and sound smart of it.
Oh, I'm
right.
Saying, like, this is just so inspiring in me. I was the first person ever to have this thought.
Oh, wow, that's
so
crazy,
I'm trademarking it. First person to ever recognize that, like, artists, like, the whole community is very similar. They're idolizing a certain person. A lot of people refer to a certain fan bases like cults, I guess. Very close-knit community. What do you guys think about that? Let's see where this goes.
Well, I think that like pop culture kind of acting as religion almost, it kind of ties into like how people treat their favorite artists almost as like there's more of like a cult of personality rather than like appreciating them for their art. Like, for example, like a Frank Ocean, people typically like him for, you know, like for his personality and like what he kind of stands for almost. And like, not to say that like people don't appreciate him for his art, but I feel like people get so caught up in like, oh, Frank made this, so it's so good, you know what I mean?
I was gonna say I actually disagree with Frank, because he's been pretty like mysterious like throughout his whole career, and I feel like I don't know anything about him.
But like, I feel like that adds to like the cult of personality, because we don't know so much about him, so it's like we're so invested in trying to find out more.
Yeah, but like I think people really do appreciate Frank for his music, though. It's not like cool, like he has, I don't know, critical acclaim, fan acclaim, all the acclaim.
I feel like it's a really good mixture of both, because like it definitely, it's part of like the cult of personality where like he's given us some good content and has like a very large fan base. But other than that, like personality wise, like you said, like he doesn't do very many interviews. We don't know a lot about him. So I feel like his fans kind of take it upon themselves to idealize him and like just project. Kind of like project, right? And they see him how they want to see him, and they take bits of what they think he would be like to like form their own opinions on him, which I think is like a common trait amongst other religions too, right?
Also, like the whole thing about, or I guess typically we would kind of see God as almost like a mysterious figure. Like
to religion.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. And I think going back to like the whole cult of personality revolving around Frank, because of how mysterious he is too, like not saying he's God or whatever, but you know, there's that mystery to him that people want to find out more, kind of like how, I guess, I don't know, the Bible's just kind of like interpreting all of God's words and everything like that.
Just a heads up. I mean, by the way, Frank Ocean is lately being kind of public because he made his Instagram public. So
True. Yeah. That's very true.
People are still, we get an insight into his life, I guess.
Yeah. And he's been more political, like explicitly with like the shirts. I guess that's not really political. That's just like being active. He wasn't saying vote for this side, but he like released merch to people who voted, which was like pretty interesting.
And only in areas which were how do you say it, swing states?
Swing states, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, another point which I thought was interesting about Frank is, I guess like prior to the point where he made his Instagram public and started doing more interviews, there really wasn't much to build off of besides his actual music and the themes from that music to build this cult of personality. And which reminds me, there isn't much that we have based on like religion, especially I'm talking about Christianity, besides the Bible and interpreting the Bible. And in order to build this cult of personality, people look at the themes in his lyrics. So I'm seeing a slight through line here.
Are we saying Frank Ocean is God? Is this?
Yes. Potentially.
At least Jesus.
Yeah, well, true.
Brenna was saying something earlier that was really interesting, how you compared like the cult mentality to like the mystery behind it, of people putting like their own beliefs and opinions onto a person. I don't know, has anybody ever here seen the Netflix documentary Wild Wild Country?
No, some people are excited though.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, it's a crazy story. You should check it out. But basically, it's about a cult from somewhere in India, and it's called Rajneeshpuram, and they follow a dude named Osho. And the whole series is about how they went from India to a really rural community in Oregon, and then it was about like the cult's feud and battle with all like the people who lived in like rural Oregon, right? But the reason I wanted to bring it up is because Osho is so mysterious and the people never see him, and it's all led through his right-hand woman. And so like that whole like the disconnection from that leader and like what makes people so dedicated is they are putting their beliefs onto that. That was like a really good point that you brought up about how people put their own beliefs and opinions onto people. How Frank is such a dedicated cult following because people don't know anything about him. We got a lot of eager hands running up, so I'll get off the mic and hop on someone.
Well, I think that in general, a lot of people, like especially if we don't know much about the person, we would like to assume that, or like we would like to think that we are similar to our favorite artists. So I think that's the reason why, like, we would kind of project our own opinions onto the, like, the supposed opinions of our favorite artists. Like, like, for example, Kanye, all his words are, like, taken out of context and, like, reinterpreted into, like, however you would want to feel like you would interpret what he's saying. You know what I mean?
I feel like with Kanye, because he has such a strong fan base, that even if he said the most ridiculous, awful thing, his fans would spin it into, like, something positive or be like, he meant this. When, like, none of us really know what he meant, but...
And I feel like that does happen, like, especially when he was getting pretty political on Twitter for that time. He had a lot
MAGA.
Of... that's what I'm saying. He stirred up a lot of controversy, but a lot of his fans still were, like, defending him, saying, like, oh, like, it's okay, like, they could interpret it, like, another way. He's not totally being a Trump supporter, even though, like...
He is... He was being a total Trump supporter, and because the thing is, he sees Trump as a father figure almost, because Trump really is living the American dream, and like he didn't start from nothing. He started from $1 million from his dad, but he just respects like Trump. He literally just wanted to become president, so he became president, and Kanye respects that, and like I understand where he's coming from in that aspect. And Kanye, he does say whatever he wants because he knows everybody will listen to him. Because he does have the floor at all times, no matter what. And people won't push him away. And Kanye, he's almost mastered the art of being controversial. He's been doing it for years now. And no matter what, he will go on top. And, like, I mean, to be fair, he was just, like, yesterday he was sued by some Japanese fabric company. We'll see how that goes. But it's only $600,000. It's nothing. Compared to Kanye. True. So, but like, no matter what, Kanye wins. And it's kind of impressive.
Well, like, going back to the whole religion theme, he does think that he is like a God figure almost. So I'm not surprised that he's like super confident in like whatever he thinks or like whatever he says. And I do remember like seeing a clip of Kim Kardashian in an interview where she's like, well, he takes forever to edit all his music and all his songwriting and stuff like that. So it's kind of like inevitable that he'll say weird things. Like, that's not to defend anything he's said or like any stance he's taken, but yeah, it's kind of like a perspective that people should be looking at it from because of how confident and like outspoken he is.
I mean, Kanye is also like bipolar, and I think after the recent things he did tweet out something about how like his words were being misconstrued. Like, and personally, I guess like as a fan of Kanye's music, I guess I don't know, that's one time I guess I separate the art and the artist, because I don't look to him for my political views. But yeah, I feel like, I mean, part of being bipolar is like delusions.
That's true.
So I think in his context, like his mental health is like, but yeah, also as like Jack said, like he's like good at being controversial, and that like helps push his popularity.
True.
Just kind of like branching off, there's a couple ways we can go with like the whole religious aspect of the music. There's like the religious cult or crowd or whatever you want to call it, community of like the followers, and then there's also like that the influence on the individual, like the leader. You have some people like Chance who like see their position, and they like they're talking about religious things a lot in his music, which is why we played Ultralight Beam, and we might play a couple other Chance songs. I don't know if that's on The Cure or not. It's definitely not. I just got the head shake from ICO over there. But no, he's like definitely investing in his community in Chicago. He's become a major presence, so you can do that, or you become the more mysterious figure. But then there's also, if you look at all the hair, like glam rockers of the 80s and the 70s, where they were like the gods of their time, the rock gods, and now like a lot of them died from addiction, or they're just kind of washed up alone in a ranch and no one really knows about them. Except for your dad who shows you his t-shirt. It's like, yeah, I was there 30 years ago. Where do you guys want to go from there? Like, do you want to talk about community or the impacts on the idol of them? Just kind of spots we can go. What? Yeah, Jack.
I feel like we've talked about, like, the individuals and or, like, the cult personality of it. Like, we've gone past that. But where do you guys think that, like, all these artists are going to be in, like, 20 years? Because, like, Nav and, like, Lil Uzi, they're quitting music, in theory. I don't think they're actually going to.
Well, in, like, 10 years, Lil Uzi is going to come out with a gaming system and call it Lil Uzi Switch. Because he will always be creating.
I think Nav is, like, a very different ballpark from, like, Kanye West, who I think will be around, like, for a long time. Like, he has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, like, no matter what he says, his albums are interesting and they keep on changing. And, like, he's an artist. And he isn't, like, he didn't gain a success over some, like, trend in, like, a really fast way. Like, he built it up. And same with Frank. I think he'll be here for a long time. People are patient. They, like, value his music long enough that he doesn't have to, like, do the constant, like, putting out content to stay relevant. But then there's a lot of, like, new artists who, I don't know, like, I can't, like, Blueface, I don't know, will he be here in 10 years? Who knows? Maybe not. But that's the first person I could think of. I don't know why. But, yeah, no shade to Blueface.
I think just, like, with the creation of social media, you see kind of, like, almost an immortalization of a lot of these artists, where even if they're not still present, like, or actively creating music, their content is still there. People can still find them, which I think, like, differentiates them from, like, older, like, hair metal bands, like just rock and roll bands from, like, the 70s and 80s that we never heard of unless you, like, filter through, like, a bunch of old records and you're like, oh, cool, this is them, because they don't have Instagram, they don't have Twitter, they're not on SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. But I feel like artists that have, like, gradually built up a fan base, like you said, like, obviously Kanye, Frank, like, they're going to be here to stay because they have more of a foundation, whereas a lot of just, like, SoundCloud rappers who have, like, gotten big on a trend or, like, have, like, a few hits that people know are more likely to fizzle out more quickly, obviously, because they don't have that foundation to stand on. They're there on a trend, and they're kind of, like, in their 15 minutes of fame. However, if that's 15 minutes or a few years, like, I feel like they're not there to last.
Yeah, I feel like we rag on SoundCloud artists a lot. So I think the same goes for, like, certain types of, like, indie bands. Like, they have that, like, mm-hmm. really popular sound at the moment, but they all kind of sound the same.
That's
and, like,
true.
It probably won't last long. And I also think social media, even though it immortalizes everything, it also, because there's so much content being put out all the time, like, stuff cycles through really fast. So it wasn't, like, I don't know, the process of putting your album out 30 years ago took a lot longer. And, like, your album would be, like, on the shelves in the record store for a lot longer. And now, like, if no one cares, they'll just forget about you and it's kind of over. Like, it's hard to hold on to your success.
That's true. And I feel like right now we're exposed to so much media. Like, you go onto your Apple Music or Spotify or whatever streaming service, and you have a million songs recommended to you of that day. And you can go through and find ones you like, but then the next day they're going to be gone, replaced with totally new content. And we're filtering through so much music, so many artists, that it's hard to, like, a lot of them kind of start to feel, like, homogenous. They feel the same. Like Isia said, like, a lot of indie bands kind of feel the same. I was just talking to Gabe about how, like, I can't even remember the names of different bands that I've seen because they're all in the same scene. They all sound the same. I can experience, like, my experience with a lot of these, like, older indie bands is just, like, can be summed up into one experience, basically. It's just, like, a punk show because, like, it's all sounding very homogenous at one point. So I feel like, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't know if that's really the issue with the streaming services, but that's really more the issue of people who are creating music. Because if you're just going to be following the trend, of course you're going to just be washed up, or not washed up, you're just going to be, like, pushed to the side and not looked at. Because the people who are really going to be making it and staying around are the people who are really creating something new. And that's honestly, and no matter what genre it is, if you're not progressing, you're going to fall behind. Because, like, if you look at, like, the rock scene, there's, like, Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're just, they're Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And, like,
are you saying that's a bad thing?
Yeah.
They know that. Like, they'll be in interviews and they'll say, you know, you sound exactly like Led Zeppelin. And they'll say, yeah, we know, because we like Led Zeppelin.
But what's the point?
But
like, why would you listen to them
nothing,
when you could just listen to Led Zeppelin?
The thing is, they're not going to be able to create a sustainable future unless they make something of their own. Like, they'll go through a fad. Like, everybody's like, oh, cool, Led Zeppelin, that's nice. I haven't listened to them in a few years. Like, got to pick them up again.
Do you listen to Led Zeppelin?
I do.
Okay, because a lot of people would just say stuff like that. But do you think they just kind of, like, revamp that style?
The thing is,
or
they
improve on it, or
they brought nothing new to the table. That's my thing. Because there's other bands who, they definitely have good influences that pull strongly from, like, Led Zeppelin and other, like, that kind of music. I can't think of, like,
that's fine.
The
no,
perfect
no, no.
genre
it's on
right
spot.
Now. But unless they got to be doing something new, and like, cause like you can always like bring like think of how much. Oh, I guess you guys don't know hyphy music.
That was condescending. Okay, I totally.
Yeah,
no,
we
I don't
know hyphy music.
You all don't. I asked last week and y'all didn't know, so maybe you
no,
did
I'm
your
kidding.
Research.
It's all good. We're just playing, bro.
Yeah. But like so much of the, like the SoundCloud scene, it's a lot of the same music, and like. There's definitely people who stand out on there, like, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more on the creator rather than, like, us on the individuals trying to find them. Because, like, if you make good music, you will be found eventually. As long as you push yourself into the right direction and have the right way of going about stuff, eventually you'll get there.
Adding on to that, though, there's also groups like Brockhampton who have their own inspired sound and they have their own very distinct sound, but then they grew a cult following so quickly and now they're just like they're completely blown up. But you can kind of tell that they're like almost I feel like you can kind of tell they're a bit uncomfortable with how fast they've grown and like the amount of like attention they're getting. So I guess I'm just wondering, like, someone who has their own distinct sound like a Brockhampton, because of how quickly they blew up, do you think that their impact will also stay, or like will that fizzle out because of how fast they grew?
I think because their sound, because when they came out with like the Saturation albums, I think maybe at first we're like, oh, like we haven't really heard this before, but it's become, I feel like that whole aesthetic and like that whole sound has become really popular, and we have new artists who come out like who come out with the same sound, and because it happens all so quickly, no one makes the distinction that they were like the ones who did it first, so they just kind of get grouped in with everyone else, and you're like, oh, they're not that original. And like I think every big musician, like once they make it, there'll be like 18 other bands that like spring up that sound like them. Like King Cruel, love King Cruel. I can think of like five bands who kind of sound King Cruel-y and have the same like jazz like chord progressions. So once you listen to King Cruel after that, you may be like, oh, he's not that original, but like he did it first. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
And I think it just goes to show that like those are the artists that you associate the sound with, and those are the artists that stick around because they're the ones that built the foundation and that really put in the craftsmanship, which is like totally true, because you look at like Brockhampton, you look at Tyler the Creator, King Cruel, like Isaiah said, like a lot of bands that are like and artists that are just really big right now, it becomes like like the music market gets so saturated with bands that sound exactly like them, and it almost creates like saturated. Wow, crazy Brockhampton. But it creates almost just like I guess a vibe or like an aesthetic of all these people just trying to mimic each other, and it just again it just creates like one big culture of all kind of like the same stuff. But then it goes to show that like the artists who are the most influential, like Tyler, Brockhampton, or whoever, like people that kind of started the sound just like stick around and are a lot more influential like overall.
Yeah, I mean definitely, like it's like, but a good part to especially with like Tyler, the way that his music has evolved from like 2008 till now, mm-hmm. is incredible. And it's like Brockhampton, they're gonna need to evolve if they're gonna want to stick around. They're gonna have to evolve because nothing like what was their last album called? Iridescence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It was all right. Like, but it was just...
Hot takes.
Saturation.
Hot takes.
Like, Saturation... the whole Saturation trilogy, I believe, is just a better overall because it's more... It's grimy. And, like, you can tell even with... the bass isn't as, like, deep. The vocals are kind of garbage. Or, like, garbage sounding. Like, but there's true passion into it. And, like, there is on Iridescence, but it's just... It's kind of more of the same.
Well, Iridescence was produced after they got signed to RCA, right?
Mm-hmm.
They recorded in Abbey Road, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
that's
so
insane.
There's probably
that's
like
actually
there's probably some direction from their record label, like you guys should sound a bit more mainstream, like yeah, like mm-hmm. a bit more mainstream and stuff like that. Yeah, I guess because the Saturation trilogy, it was all done like within their house or whatever, mm-hmm. so they had like a lot more. They were able to put a lot more of their like own personalities into it rather than like input from their record label or what the public what the record label thinks the public would like.
Mm-hmm.
And just going back quickly to the like tons of bands that sound the same, I don't think that's a now issue either. It's just that we can listen to them now because they're there. Like I'm sure there was like 1,000 bands ripping off Pink Floyd like
oh, yeah.
in the 70s. It's
yeah.
just that no one paid attention to them because they didn't have a platform. But now everyone's there and like it's easier, but I don't know. People have been doing this for ages,
yeah,
I assume.
This is true.
I was mm-hmm. not alive at the time.
Just coming back to like the comparison between like Tyler and Brockhampton, you look at Cherry Bomb, and I feel like that's an album that was, it was like decent, but it definitely wasn't great. It wasn't as like, personally, this is my personal opinion, hot takes, but
every time.
It definitely, it left something to be, it, like, it left me wanting more. It didn't like leave me feeling totally satisfied with the album. I feel like Tyler's earlier stuff is just a lot more, like, it was very, like, hard, grimy. Like, it was really juvenile, and that's what people liked about it. And Cherry Bomb kind of flopped, and then he came out with Flower Boy, and people were like, wow, he's matured so much as an artist. Like, he's really grown. He really, like, has come back with a totally new style. And I feel like I'm hoping from Brockhampton that that's kind of what's happened with Iridescence. They're still, they've grown so much. And they've gained so much of a following, and I feel like they don't really know what to do with themselves. So I'm really hoping that like the new next stuff we start to see from them is like they've kind of like grown into these big new shoes. Like they're filling them out. they're in like this awkward phase where they don't know what to do with this yet. But hopefully we start to see kind of like a similar trend.
Yeah. First of all, the problem with, in my opinion, the problem with Iridescence was that it was made in 10 days, I think, in Abbey Road.
Yeah.
Which is, first of all, crazy. But on the other hand, I don't think you can make... Okay, if you're Kanye, you can make a extremely good album in 10 days. But I liked Iridescence, but it was different. And I don't kind of agree with the record label's instructions, because I didn't think it was that kind of poppy. I mean, I don't know. There aren't any hits on the album.
Yeah,
for instance, if you look at
Gold... Yeah, that's
Gold is a hit.
Yeah.
Everyone knows
hit.
Gold. And on Iridescence, I don't know any songs which like stands out.
Yeah.
Also, the 10 days plus there being so many people like collaborating and like agreeing, I think that adds like an extra factor of like how time affects the product. But anyone have any finishing comments? Because we got to wrap up soon. No one? Okay.
Go listen to Frank.
Yeah, listen to Frank. And I promise we listen to more people than Kanye and Brockhampton. They just come up a lot. Just how it is. Oh,
they do come up a lot. But do you know what's even better than Kanye and Brockhampton? Our Twitter.
True. Facts.
Okay. Follow us. At CITR Word Street. That is spelled WORDSTREET Word Street. At CITR Word Street. We have an astounding amount of followers. Last week, we only had 9 followers. And in 7 days, we have come to 24 followers.
25, sorry.
25 followers. Wow. Now, don't feel hurt if we don't follow you back. We only follow Nardwar because he's the man. He's before us. He's trained all of us. He's a homie.
Awesome. Thank you, Gabe, for that report. And thank you for listening to Word on the Street. This is CITR 101.9, and enjoy Radio Pizza Party coming up next.
Pizza Party.